RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Welcome. This is Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes. And what do you do about droopy eyelids? I don't know if that's something you thought about, but I'm sure lots of people look in the mirror. Well, we've invited an oculoplastic surgeon today to discuss why do eyelids sag, why do eyelids droop, and what can be done about them. And he will share some of his insights and what specialists are the best trained to fix them. Dr. Ari Abel has performed his ophthalmology training at Johns Hopkins and then additional training in plastic surgery on the face, eyes, and orbits. He is certified by three academies, the American Academy of Ophthalmology, Ophthalmic Surgery, and Cosmetic Surgeons. Thank you for being with us, Ari, today. Why don't you tell us, what does an ocular plastic surgeon do differently than a regular eye doctor?
Hello, well, thank you very much for having me. Well, I think that when you're asking about a regular eye doctor, if we make the regular eye doctor, obviously, an optometrist, we know optometrists do not do surgery, but if it's an ophthalmologist, in this day and age, the domain for ophthalmology pretty much states that there are a number of different subspecialties, with oculoplastic surgeons pretty much taking care of anything that's really not on the eyeball, per se. So I know in our community there are a very few of all the ophthalmologists in town. I can think of three ophthalmologists who will do blepharoplasty, where you're just removing the skin on the eyelid. They will do ptosis repair, which is tightening the muscle. And they will do some minor lid eversion procedures on people who are a little bit older, whose lid is either rotating out or rotating in. So in a sense, if you take those procedures and saying, what else do I do? I do, as an oculoplastic surgeon, we also do tear duct surgery. So there's a number of different things we can do for the tear ducts, which often involve the sinuses and the nose. We do get into doing more facial plastic procedures, including eyebrow lifts, forehead lifts, facelifts. And then we also do, we do treatment for tumors that are either around or behind the eye. So, for example, something that is not in the eyeball, but something that is behind in the bony orbit. But I think overall, for the most part, if you look around the country, the majority of ophthalmologists these days really are not doing too much of this type of work, and they're focusing on whether they do glaucoma or retina procedures or cataract surgery.
So what additional training did you have that made you different from the rest of us like myself?
So my additional training consisted of 2 years. It's an accredited fellowship, whereby we not only trained with at least, you have to train with at least two, and I ended up training with four different oculoplastic surgeons. You're pretty much doing, that's all you're doing. You're not doing any comprehensive ophthalmology. You're not doing cataract surgery. And then in addition, each of these fellowships has its own, has sort of its own life that it takes. I happen to be the first fellow in my fellowship. So I was able to help create the fellowship itself. So I spent a fair deal of time dealing with ear, nose, and throat specialists, otolaryngologists, neurosurgeons, general plastic surgeons, and oral maxillofacial plastic surgeons. And for the most part, we would usually interact in trauma cases. So we'd have a big, we'd have a big car accident, and someone's, not only did we have eyelid issues, but we also had facial issues, we had sinus issues, we might have had brain issues. So the nice thing about that fellowship was that you got to really interact with these different specialties at the same time.
How do you do a procedure like a droopy eyelid, a ptosis, a blepharoplasty with extra skin differently than from the regular plastic surgeons who are generalists?
Well, I think that, I think obviously we all know that there are surgeons that are very good, and there are surgeons that are maybe not so good. So I think there are very good plastic surgeons who could do very good eyelid surgery. I think in a sense what we do is we have, we have a little bit of a better concept of the anatomy because we've spent more time studying it and spend more time doing it. So in a sense, I do find that sometimes the general plastic surgeon might have a little difficulty trying to figure out which is a ptosis. Ptosis basically meaning that the muscle is loose, the entire eyelid itself is drooped below the pupil, versus dermatochalasis, which means that the actual skin is hanging over the pupil. So in a sense, those are two very different procedures. You need to determine, do you fix one, do you fix both, or do you fix them both at the same time? So in a sense, I think that the difference is that we spend a little bit more time sort of dealing with the technical aspects of each procedure and not lumping everything as one. Because I will see some patients that will come in that said they had something fixed, and the question always is okay, you know, you need to. There are a number of different reasons why people have droopy eyelids. You need to make sure that you're really focusing on the most important one for that person.
I knew many years ago there was reports about bleeding in the orbit, and that the general plastic surgeons were really unaware of how to deal with that. Also, they were not as familiar with the anatomy, and that made the oculoplastic surgeons even better. And one of the reasons I've liked you and asked you on the show is the fact that you performed my blepharoplasty about 5 years ago. One of my patients said to me, "Doctor, if you recommend this man, why don't you do it yourself?" So I said, okay. And interestingly enough, I had so little bruising that 2 days after the procedure, my partners and my in-laws did not recognize I had anything done. And at the same time, I recognized how the shade was lifted and I could see so much more. So I think that oculoplastic surgeons have a real niche that is all to themselves. And then there's orbit work.
Correct. I think that, you know, just to add on to that, I think the other thing, too, that that I find that can be a little bit difficult for patients to grasp, because they'll come in and say, my friend had this, or my sister had this, or my brother had this. And what I always say is, unless you look like your sister, your brother, or your friend, then that doesn't really necessarily mean a lot, because a lot of it is about anatomy. So I often tell people that if you've got a prominent eye, well, I'm going to do a little bit of a different procedure on you. If you've got a deep-set eye, sort of we call the boxer's eye, meaning the eyebrow comes over, the eyebrow's hanging over the eyeball itself, we're looking at very different things. So in a sense, to get back at that other question, I think that is another important thing, is to just grasp the overall anatomy of the orbit itself.
And then you do tearing, because there's so many people with allergies, long-term conjunctivitis, and even the elderly get tearing problems, and it really does take a specialist technician to differentiate them, right?
That's exactly correct, because there are so many different reasons, and I feel like one of our jobs is to figure out, is there something we can fix? You know, one reason for tearing is your eyelids are droopy. Another reason is your tear duct could be blocked. Or another reason is that you've got an eye problem. Your eyes are dry. So that is very difficult. And I find that a lot of people really don't take the time to sort of evaluate that with the patient.
Well, you've been so thoroughly informative. We're going to have you back. But people may want to contact you directly. I know your website is Able Center for Oculofacial Plastic Surgery. That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful.
Able Center for Oculofacial Plastic Surgery. So thanks so much for being with us today and sharing a little bit about droopy lids, and it does matter who you see and where you go. Well, I'm Robert Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com, and I appreciate your listening and sharing with some of the information we have. Please feel free to look up any of my segments or former segments, and stay tuned to hear about hating your glasses and what can you do. If you don't want to wear glasses, there are always options. Ophthalmologists are great fidgeters and creators. Thank you for joining me today.